Hey, hello everybody. How are you? This is Chris. I am still alive. This is episode 215 of the Libertarian Republican Podcast. Thanks again for listening. I know I've been slacking off, but it's been, I don't know, 15 days, 10 days? I don't know how long it's been, but like I always say, I sometimes I just don't have a good idea for an episode, so I don't do an episode. This one I want to talk about Tulsi Gabbard and how the more I think about it, I think she is the best choice for Trump to pick as his vice president. Now, I think there are a lot of different considerations when you're picking a vice president. You know, you might want to get somebody who's going to win you someone who's popular in a state, who can win a state that otherwise you might not win. Now, I don't know if Tulsi would win Hawaii for Trump. It's only four. Hawaii only has four electoral college votes, so it's not exactly a big win. And he did lose Hawaii by 30 points in 2020. I mean, it's a heavy Biden. It is a deep, deep blue state. So I don't know. But, you know, then again, it's 170,000 voters. That's 30%, 30 points, 30 percentage points. So he lost it by like 63%. Biden got 63% and he got 33%, something like that. So yeah, about 30 points. So that's a pretty high hurdle. But, I think, Trump voters are going to vote for Trump. You know, I mean, that's it. Trump voters are going to vote for Trump. And so at this point, he needs to win more people over, right? He needs people, he needs to win over more voters. And I think that you pick a woman and... Okay, you're picking a woman but is everybody going to say, oh, he just picked her because she's a woman? I don't think you can make that argument with Tulsi Gabbard. I think you can honestly say that he didn't pick her because she's a woman. He picked her because she really is a very strong candidate. I mean, she's great on the mic. She's, you know, on the microphone, you know, in front of a camera. She is terrific. Now, I mean, I've been watching, like, she gave a speech at CPAC this year, and she gave a speech at CPAC last year. So it's two, you can go on Rumble or YouTube and watch those speeches. She gave a speech at Mar-a-Lago about a month ago. She's been on some podcasts, like she's been on with Tucker Carlson. I really recommend listening to, watching that. She was on Donald Trump Jr.'s Triggered podcast. And I mean, I truly believe that she has come around. And I think that it's, you know, her original, yes, she was a Democrat, but she was not one of these radical left-wing communist, essentially communist Democrats. She loves America. You know, she was in the military. I mean, she's still technically in the military. She's in the reserves. And she loves America. And, you know, in that speech she gave at Mar-a-Lago, she tells the story of how everybody in Congress, when she first got to Congress, one of the first things, I don't know if it was one of the first things, but when she was in Congress, some members went and read the Constitution. And she was really excited about this. You know, she was very excited. And she tells the story about talking to a fellow Democrat. And then this is years ago. Remember, she was in Congress years ago. And so she went and she was talking to a fellow Democrat, and she said, "Hey, you know, I went down to the reading of the Constitution, and I didn't see a lot of Democrats down there. I didn't see a lot of my party people down there." And that her fellow Democrat said, "Well, that's because that's a right wing thing." And that was, you know, that's what Democrats think of the Constitution. They think the Constitution is, you know, is radical right wing nut jobs. Oh, they're Nazis and they're white supremacists. And I mean, these are horrible people. Democrats are really awful people, and they're un-American and they're anti-American. They hate America. And you can see, you know, when she tells that story, and you see her sort of story arc, that how she left the Democrat Party, you know, she was never one of them. You know, I think she was naive about what the Democrat Party was all about. And she learned. She had an education. And, you know, she learned that the Democrat Party is not what she thought it was. It is a bunch of communists who hate America and want to destroy America and don't believe, you know, Democrats don't believe in any of the freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution. They don't believe in any of them. Like I always say, the Democrats believe in arbitrary rights. They don't believe in universal rights. They don't believe that everybody has rights. They believe that only some people have rights, if, you know, only the people who we decide will have rights, you know. And she saw that, and she realized, okay, I got to get out of this party. This is a party full of horrible people. And I think that, you know, that says a lot about her. You know, she was on with Tucker Carlson talking about how, you know, she hasn't cashed in. She doesn't make a lot of money. She just wrote a book. So she's trying to sell that book, you know. Hopefully she'll make some money off of the book. But yeah, she doesn't, you know, she flies coach. She's not rich. She's not, you know, cashing in like everybody does in Washington. It's a really good, on Triggered with Donald Trump Jr., she was talking about the Second Amendment and how, you know, she thought that These restrictions that the Democrats were always pushing, she thought that they would be maybe these will be some common sense ideas that will reduce crime or whatever. But she learned that no, these people are not interested in reducing crime or saving lives. They're just interested in power and in disarming the people, because an armed people is an impediment to government power. I mean, she understands that. She's good. She's the real deal. You know, I really believe that she's the real deal. And I think that she will be a terrific vice president for Trump, because she's better than Trump is on the mic, you know, in my opinion. I mean, that's the thing. She's on podcasts. You know, does Trump ever go on podcasts and really talk, you know, really answer questions and really talk about things? And you know, he doesn't. He's not very good at any of that stuff. And, you know, like I say, I mean, I don't think that, I mean, I've said it before. I don't think Trump is a deep thinker. I don't think he's an intellectual. I think he's got instincts. And his instincts are basically good. But, you know, even if Tulsi is not, I think some Republicans might be a little skittish about voting for Tulsi. But she's, even if she's kind of almost like an old school liberal, you know, that's kind of what Trump is. right? Trump wants to help people. He doesn't care. He's not opposed to programs that help people. And, you know, I mean, of course, I'm all for programs that help people, but, you know, we have to limit them. And that idea of helping people has gone, you know, it's just gone completely off the rails. But I think that people like Tulsi really get that. They understand that there's a difference between, you know, having programs that are designed to help people and having programs that are designed to perpetuate the bureaucracy. You know, they don't ever want, you know, these bureaucracies never want to actually solve any problems because then they eliminate the reason for their existence, right? So I don't know. I think that, and I can't think of anybody else. I go through the list of who Trump should pick as vice president. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't like any of the other choices. I mean, even Vivek Ramaswamy, who I love, I think he's great. I think he'd be better as sort of, you know, in the administration, and I think, any, you know, he's young, and I'm not sure if he's younger than Tulsi, but he's young. I think he's 37, maybe 38. I think Tulsi is around the same. I'm not sure if Vivek brings you the same crowd that Tulsi does. I think Tulsi would soften Trump, would soften especially his appeal with women. You know, you got to say it. I mean, and Tulsi is a woman, technically a woman of color. You know, and I think she is a good messenger, and she is substantive. You know, she really is a substantive person. And I think that because, you know, when I look at a guy like Tim Scott, I'm sorry, but Tim Scott is, I mean, he's a nice guy, but and I did an episode about Tim Scott versus The View when he went on The View. And, you know, I'm sorry, but he is not a deep thinker, and he is a sort of an old, well, he's just, I don't want to say he's dumb, but he's not articulate, and he's not a deep thinker, and he doesn't have he's not convincing to me. I don't think he's principled at all. I don't, you know, he's just not, I don't think he would be a good choice at all. I really don't. And I think, you know, just because he's black, that's not going to help. That doesn't help. That's not going to, you know, that is pandering. I think people would see that is pandering. Black people would see he just picked him because he's black, you know, and he's not a strong candidate. He's just not. But Tulsi is. Tulsi is a warrior, and she is good. So, and I don't think you could say that he picked her because she's a woman, because I think she's the best, the strongest of the group of all the people that he's talking about. I mean, you know, I do love Byron Donalds. Byron Donalds is great, but then you have the whole problem with, you know, first of all, he's in Congress, which you need him in Congress. I think you need him in Congress. And he's also from Florida, and so that's a problem, because you have the whole, Trump is from Florida, and he's from Florida. And I think you do still have that issue, that sort of suspicion. Some people might be, you know, oh, he picked him just because he's black. But with Tulsi, I think you can say, you know, I didn't pick her just because she's a woman. I absolutely not. She is tough. She is smart. She is principled. And she's a warrior, because look at what she's done. She left that party, the Democrat Party, and now you know, she's been called, you know, Ron Paul, the Ron Paul Liberty Report just today or yesterday had Daniel McAdams was on there talking about Team Red and Team Blue, and nobody's on Team Freedom. And I think that is the key for Trump to win, because he can say, look, the Democrats hate me, A lot of the Republicans hate me too. You know why they hate me? Because I'm on Team Freedom. Because I'm not Team Red. I'm not Team Blue. I'm on Team Freedom. I believe in freedom and all of those people. Both parties are corrupt and self-serving, and they just want to take your money and give it away and buy votes with it, and they're swamp rats. They're all swamp rats. And what's a great example of someone who rejected the swamp, who at great peril to her career, Tulsi Gabbard rejected the swamp. She left it. She jumped, and now she's kind of a person without a party. And Mitt Romney called her a Putin stooge. You know, so you've got these people. The Democrats hate her. The Republican swamp rats hate her, just like Trump. Just like they hate Trump. And so I think they make a good pair. And I think they can make a good argument that, hey, we are not on Team Red. We are not on Team Blue. We are on Team Freedom. You know, because I think that's a really good message that I think a lot of people just think that, you know, they just want to be left alone. They think the government's too big. I mean, I think the vast majority of Americans would welcome that message, would respond positively to that message. Hey, look, I think the government is just too big. It's too powerful. It takes too much of your money. It regulates you too much. It taxes you too much. I think the government should leave you alone. It starts too many wars that we don't need to be fighting. It meddles in countries all over the world. It should stay out of your bedroom. All this kind of stuff. And I think that message, and of course that's the libertarian, really. It's kind of the libertarian message, but you can't. You know, the Libertarian Party is just a train wreck. So I think that, and I think that this, another thing I want to just talk briefly about is RFK Jr. You know, I like RFK Jr., but I think his vice president choice, kind of this leftist activist, really, you know, I think a lot of libertarians were thinking that, I might vote for RFK Jr., but I don't think he's good on a few issues, like the vaccine and medical freedom and on freedom of speech. But I don't think he's still a radical environmentalist, you know, leftist, really. And I think that I think you've got Tulsi is more of a moderate. And I think that that's what Trump needs. And Trump can bring in some moderates, some people who are in the middle and looking for, you know, and the libertarians too. You know, I think that a lot of libertarian leaning people like me would vote for a ticket, a Tulsi Trump ticket, you know, because that's especially not, you know, especially now that RFK Jr. chose Nicole Shanahan, which I think was a mistake. But I think he was just going for the money. But so those are my thoughts. I think Tulsi would be a great choice. I don't think there is any other. I really don't think there's any other choice. I mean, at this point, I think it's the only choice. So, all right, let me know what you think. And you can see this on, you can listen to this on Podbean. You can message me on Podbean. I'll post this on Twitter, on X, and on Truth and Getter and Minds and Gab and MeWe. I'm on MeWe, which I really like. Let me know what you think. All right. I will see you next time soon, hopefully. Okay. Bye-bye.